I want to share with you a few things relating to Parsha Zohar. Okay, a few short things. The Hayamim Ho'ele Nizkorim V'Na'asim. Nizkorim is a short, the Nizkorim is a two-star. Parsha Zohar is part of Purim. Nizkorim means we read it. V'Na'asim is we observe. Purim is a two-step process. Parsha Zohar leads into Purim. Parsha Zohar is the Zechira, when we read Parsha Zohar, and the Na'asim is when we actually do the Mitzvah Sayom, is Purim. This year it's very good, because this year it's Mamish, they're merged together, you go straight from Shabbos into Purim, you have all the Milas. Now let's talk about Zecher and Zohar. We all know that Yoav, the Gemara says that Yoav was the general of David, and Yoav made a fatal mistake. David sent out Yoav to go to Mulcham against Edom, which includes Amalek, and he only wiped out the males of Amalek. David said to him, what happened? Why did you only kill the males, not the females? So he said, it says in the Pasuk, Timcha es Zohar. Zohar Amalek. So David said, that's not what it says. It says Zecher, or Zecher Amalek, not Zohar. So Yoav didn't believe David. He went back to his Rebbe, and his Rebbe says, I taught you Zohar, the males. So it says here in the Gemara that he wanted to kill his Rebbe. Because his Rebbe, and it goes to how careful you have to be when you teach, that he made a mistake, that it's not the males, but it's the remembrance. Now the question is it Zecher or Zecher? The Mishnah Berurah says, Vada, you should be aware, that we don't know. We do not know if the correct pronunciation is Zecher or Zecher, a double segel, Zecher or Zecher. Therefore, we read both. The custom is to read it both. Now, the truth is, it's not Ma'akev. Even if you only read it one way, certainly you have fulfilled your obligation, just as an extra hider. So, the Mishnah Berurah says, since that it's Vida, you should know that we do not know what it's been lost from us. The Aleppo Codex, very controversial. The Aleppo Codex, we don't have that either, because it's missing in action. I thought it was burnt, but it was not really burnt. We know now that it was, someone has it. It was in Aleppo in 1948, after the state was founded. Riots broke out in Aleppo, Syria, and the synagogue where it was stored for almost 900 years was torched. And in all of the confusion, people thought the entire Tanakh was there. And then this Tanakh includes not only the letters, but all the nekudos. And according to some opinions, this work comes from Ben Osher. This was what the Rambam refers to in his writings, which he used to make his own Sefer Torah. And the Rambam said about this Aleppo, we want to call it a codex, by the way, is because it's a book. A codex is an old word. In ancient times, it was scrolls. So if you have a scroll, think of a book. Isn't it amazing? A book, you want to go, you just turn the page. If this was a scroll, I would have to roll it. It'll take half an hour. So codex was the first time they took and they put it on pages. This already was done during the time of the Rishonim, the Rambam. And the Rambam says, supposedly, the Rambam said that this is the most authentic. This was checked by the Rambam, and this came from the family called Ben Osher. They were big experts in the Masorah, and the Rambam said that this is the most authentic version of the Tanakh, and we don't have today the Chamishe Chumshe Torah. We don't have either the Megillas Esther. It disappeared in the riots of 1948. Before the riots of 1948, it was under heavy guard by Arabs, and you only had access to it through them, and it was extremely limited access. Supposedly, it says there's Zecher. I think that's what they said. There are records that people who saw it before 1948, when they had access to it, it says in the Aleppo Codex, Zecher and not Zecher. But nothing is for sure. Where is it today? So it was thought that it was burnt, but it wasn't burnt. It was stolen. It was different pieces were taken by different people, smuggled out in the confusion, and it's still an ongoing investigation. There's a new book that came out. It was written up, a review in the New York Times magazine section.
London Bergman.
And there have been lectures about this, and basically it's a big mystery where Chamishei Chumshei Torah of the Aleppo Codex is today. There, again, like I told you, supposedly it's a Zecher, and that would solve the problem. Many people would be very happy that it should be Zecher. This is someone that I know, Dr. Penkower. You know who Dr. Penkower is? Jordan Penkower, right. So you know Mati Penkower. Mati Penkower used to live here. He used to be a professor in Torah College. He moved, he made Aliyah a while ago, at least 10 years ago. He went to Eretz Yisrael, so he has a brother. Brother's a very big scholar, Jordan Penkower. He comes to America so often, so he did a lot of research on this. He did some type of scientific analysis, and I think his conclusion also is that it should be Zecher Amalek. But the Mishnah Berurah, very like, it was almost prophetic. He writes, Vida. You should know, I'm aware there. It's almost like he's saying, I know there are going to be a lot of people that are going to come along and say all these different things and tell you. You should know, the bottom line is we really do not know if it's Zecher or Zecher, and therefore you should say both. Now what's very interesting is, what do? You say the entire pasuk twice, or do you just say the phrase twice, or do you say the expression twice? So there's a truth from Rav Moshe, Igros Moshe, Chelek Ches. Chelech has a very controversial volume of the Igros Moshe. Not everyone accepts everything that it says. The halacha l'maisa. You see what just came out yesterday? The new sefer for Rav Moshe of Tendler. There's a diary. The diary of Tendler's diary was just published. Yes, I think yesterday. A big fat volume. All the tshuvas that were asked, he kept records. Fantastic. I knew about this in the summer. Someone showed me the manuscript. I saw that. Yeah, he took notes of all the shilas that were asked to Rav Moshe.
Were the shilas that came to Rav Moshe, or were shilas
came to him? Came to Rav Moshe. Came to Rav Moshe. He sat and he took a diary. And I saw the manuscript in the summer. Someone I know that was working on, he came to the shir here, Rabbi Hager. He came a few days to the shir in the summer. He was working on it. He was involved in the project. So he even spoke about it in shul, and he showed me the manuscript. He told me something like 70% was censored.
Are you talking about
70%, yeah.
The son-in-law or the grandson?
The grandson.
The son-in-law.
The grandson was also involved. I don't know the details. But finally, it was published. Yesterday, this week, it was published. It looks like the Igros Moshe, but thicker, much thicker. Like one of the volumes of Igros Moshe, very thick, and it's done very nicely. It's not done like this one. It's done like a more modern day yeshivish sefer. You'll see what I mean. It's done very nicely, and there. Okay, but that's a new thing. But there's a true from Rav Moshe, what should you do? And the truth is mind-boggling because it's not the minigon. But Moshe writes that you should not repeat the entire pasuk. Rav Moshe writes that, for example, I'm trying to explain. I think what I think Rav Moshe means to say, it's reading the truth that if you go, a Baal Kori makes a mistake on Shabbos, right? He makes a mistake. Does he repeat the entire pasuk? Of course not. He makes a mistake, you repeat that word. Why? Because you made a mistake on one word. If you repeat the entire pasuk, it's like you're giving legitimacy to the mistake. There's a way to read the pasuk with this word, and there's a way to read the pasuk. They're two different psukim. You're giving it too much legitimacy. It's a mistake. There's only one way to read the word. There's only one way to read the word. It's either zecher or it's zecher. Okay, there's only one way to read the word. If you're going to do what many people do today, which is pretty much has become, I think, I've seen this in my own lifetime, I think that it's become now the minhag ha'olam to repeat the entire pasuk, you're giving it too much legitimacy. It's not like, there's a pasuk zecher amak, and there's a pasuk that has zecher. One word is a tos. So it's not a good idea. Moshe then he writes, you shouldn't just repeat the word timcha zecher zecher. It's also not good. It doesn't sound right. It sounds like that's part of the pasuk. And Moshe says the ideal thing to do is to repeat the expression timcha as zecher amolek, timcha as zecher amolek. You repeat the expression. That's what they used to do when I was a child. When I grew up, that's what they used to do. I do not know why. I do know now why today it's become a craze. It's become a craze today for some reason. I don't know why, where people repeat the entire pasuk. I did see though, I think maybe Chaim Kanievsky, I did see in another sefer from one of the Gedolei Yisrael, he said you should repeat, he did say you should repeat the entire pasuk. But clearly it's not what was done in the past, and Moshe Teshuva says not to do that. And Moshe, though, he says another chiddush. He says that you should repeat it when you lay in Parshas Kiseitze. He also says you should also say Timcha Zecher, which no one, that's not the Minhag HaOlam to do that. No one does that either. That's not the Minhag HaOlam to repeat it.
Not to repeat it, but say Zecher here.
Right, to repeat it. Okay, so this is just something you should be aware of. In the Maase Rav, it's brought down from the Gra. In the Gra, when the Gra was a young man, he used to say Zecher Amalek, and then it's put down in Maase Rav, which is like a diary of different Hagim of the Gra, that when he was in his own later years, he said to say Zecher. He changed his opinion from Zecher to Zecher. The Gra only did one. He didn't do both. He just did one. When he was younger, he did Zecher. Later, he did Zecher. So no one really knows if it's accurate, is it not accurate, true, not true, whatever the story is. I mean, so it says there's Maase Rav. So, okay, the Minhag HaOlam is we do both. To say the whole pasuk, yesh, some will say the entire pasuk, some will not say the entire pasuk. I once asked Rabelski, and he told me he started bringing. He talked about the Lepel Codex, I think, and he started bringing. He's a very big Baldictic Rabelski. He started bringing Rios that it should be Zecher. He felt that there are indications based on his ideas, and there are Rios. He starts showing me that the word Zecher is very similar to Eshen, Ke'eshen HaKivshan. I remember he had a whole drasha trying to show that just like it's Ke'eshen HaKivshan by Matan Torah, that would seem to be a right that it should be Zecher. I don't know. But Yesh V'Yesh, you're not going to get a clear consensus. I think by a lot of the Hasidim, they only learn Zecher. They don't do Zecher. Some place they only learn Zecher, some learn Zecher. The Litvish Minig is to say both. Okay, let's go to another idea. We're running out of time.
70%
Yeah. 70% was censored because there was a lot of things that were private. There were things that were very nogeh to private people's lives, are private matters, no one's business. And then there were explosively political statements, which is not for this generation to appreciate and understand and relate to, and it's not kedai.
So they're coming out.
The censor part will never be revealed to the public. That will never be revealed. Kind of, there are things that are private. It's just no one's personal business. These things, these are very personal issues. And then the political things. He spoke in shul. He read over some of the censored parts. That was what he said. He read over about. I don't want to say. I'll tell you what he said over in shul. Certain things which you right away understood. This is not going to be put in print. Fine. Okay, that's enough for now. Now let's just go to some other ideas. Something very interesting that the mitzvah of the Mechias HaMolek is the only mitzvah in the Torah where there are three parts. Oh, there's a mitzvah not to forget. Machshava, lo tishkach. There's a mitzvah to say it. Zochor, eis asher. Zochor, remember, means bedibur, with your mouth. And there's a mitzvah, b'maisa timcheh, to obliterate. It's the only mitzvah in the entire Torah where the Torah has taken the mitzvah and has broken it up into three parts. Machshava, dibur, and maisa. Every mitzvah, matzah. You think about matzah, you make a broch on the matzah, you eat the matzah, you have three parts to the mitzvah. The Torah only says, eat matzah. It doesn't go break up the mitzvah for you into three parts. The mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, eradicating evil, is broken into three parts. It's a very fascinating idea, must have great significance. L'sishkach, Zohar, and Timcha. Next important idea. Who is Amalek? Amalek is a child of Eliphaz. Who is the mother? Who is Amalek's mother? Amalek's mother is Timna. Who is Timna? Timna is the daughter of Chori, of Seir. Eliphaz was Mizana with an Eshes Ish. It was a married woman, the wife of Seir HaChori. Chori is one of the seven nations of Canaan, right? One of the nations, Chori. There was one of the nations called Achori, and there was a person that was called Seir. He was married to this woman, married to a woman, and along comes Eliphaz. Eliphaz was a son of Esav. Esav had a son called Eliphaz. This man, he was Mizaneh, a married woman. Eshes Ish, terrible Avera. Eshes Ish was Mizaneh with an Eshes Ish, the wife of Seir HaChori, and had a child called Timna. The Then what happened to this girl Timna? Eliphaz, he married his own daughter. I don't married, he had relations with his own daughter, this girl, and produced a child called Timna. And Timna, it had him out with Timna and produced Amalek. Now, before Timna went and married Eliphaz, Timna, who was the product of this being an Eshes Ish, wanted to marry Yaakov. It's a medrash. Yalkut Shmoini. She went to Yaakov and said, I recognize the greatness of this nation. I'm willing, even though I'm a child of Eliphaz, and Eliphaz was recognized at that point in the world as being a very great, distinguished leader in the world. I'd rather be a shifcha, a maidservant, a pelegesh to Klal Yisrael, than be part of my royal family, live in royalty by Eliphaz and be a grandson of Esav. I'd rather. So what happened? So Yaakov says, sorry, we're not interested. I don't want you. She was so hurt, rejected, that she was not accepted to Klal Yisrael. So you know what? I'll go and I'll marry my father. I'll go to Esau, I'll go to Eliphaz. She married, she became the Pelegesh of her own father, and from that came Amalek. So the point I want to make is, it's a very, very important point. Amalek is a product of three different events. And the combination of the three, the Chut HaMeshulash, is the cause of their intense, extreme wickedness. On the one hand, first of all, they're a product of zinus, of adultery. That's number one. That's where it all started, when Eliphaz was mezane with a married woman, produced an illegitimate child, a mamzer. Timna was a mamzer. And then Timna was rejected. She developed an incredible hatred for Klal Yisrael because Yaakov Avinu rejected her. You're not coming near us. And then she was involved in incest. Incest with her own father, with Eliphaz, to produce the single called Amalek. So Amalek is the product of incest, of adultery, and of hatred that comes from rejection. And that lethal combination is why they hate us so much. Because they represent everything that is the opposite of Klal Yisrael is an Am Kadosh. Am Kadosh, Eshes Ish. One of the Aseres Hadibros. Incest is so disgusting. It's Devar Pasha. This is the spitz of Tuma. To be married to you, to have a relationship with your father, and rejection. We all know that from our own experience. Rejection, the hatred that a person can feel from being rejected, that lethal combination is what created this incredible product called Amalek, which is the ultimate spitz of hatred. Maybe that somehow those three correspond to the three mitzvahs. I was trying to connect it to, maybe you can finish off the vart, to connect the three together. Lesishkach, Zohar, and Timcha. Machshava, Dibur, Maisa. Each of them is a product of three different events. Okay, something else also very interesting about Amalek. Amalek, we have three events in the Torah where there's the mitzvah, three times in the Torah we were commanded. There were three events in the Torah where we tried to eradicate Amalek. Number one, the time of Moshe and Yoshua in Rephidim, before Matan Torah. Number two, in the time of the Haftarah, Shohol and Shmuel. And then the time of the Megillah. The Farshim point out that each time we tried to get rid of Amalek, there was a partnership between two forces. In the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, by Rephidim, it was Moshe together with Yehoshua. Moshe raised his hands, Yorim Yodoy, the Govar Yisrael. It was Moshe together with Yehoshua. In the time of Shaul, it was Shmuel together with Shaul. And the time of Achashver, the time of the Purim story, it was Mordechai and Esther. And the Farshim tell us that there are two components to getting rid of Amalek. There is the spiritual component and there is the physical component. And that's why Moshe represented the Ruchnius, was fighting a spiritual battle, and corresponding to Moshe's spiritual battle, Yeshua was engaged in the physical battle. The time of Shmuel and Shaul, Shmuel was engaged in a spiritual battle, when Shaul was commanded to go out and wage a physical battle. Mordechai the Esther, this you might not, you think the other way around, it was Esther that was engaged in the spiritual, and Mordechai was engaged in the physical. That's what it says. Yeah, that's what it says in the Rice and Midrashim. That Esther, of course, and who, and we go a step further, who was Esther fighting against? By Tanakh Purim, it was more complex because there were really two partners in Amalek. There was Achashverosh and there was Haman. Achashverosh represented the spiritual component of Haman, and Haman was the physical component. Esther corresponded to Achashverosh, and Mordechai was fighting against Haman. So what's unique about Amalek is it's not just one. There's always a complex double nature to Amalek. Yoshua with Moshe, Shaul and Shmuel, and then when you come to the story of the Megillah, not only do you have a Mordechai the Esther, you could even break up a Amalek into two parts, into Achashverosh and Haman. Now let me tell you a very good var. This is something which is very kedai to dwell and focus on. This is something which is chashev. I think it's chashev. Everyone knows, this I don't have to give you hagdam, that in the Aseres Bnei Haman, there are three letters that are small. I'm telling you, Dvarim Pshutim Admon, everyone knows this, there are three letters, Tof, Shin, right, Tof, Shin, Zayin. So what is Tof, Shin, Zayin? That was the year, that was 1946, 1947, but it was 46, it was the year there was Hoshana Rabbah. It was Tof, Shin, Zayin, but it was still 1946, it was not yet January, it was before January, and they hung 10 Nazis.
Nuremberg trials,
they hung 10 Nazis. And the 10 Nazis, they all reacted different ways when they were hung. They were hung. And the last one, what was the name of the last one? Anyone remember the name of the last one? He was the worst of the worst.
Goebbels.
Okay, but everyone had a different reaction how they were when they were hung, what they said, what they did before they were hung. But the last one was a Russia, as he was taken to the gallows, he said, Hail Hitler. Hail Hitler. And as he was executed, right before he was executed, he said, Purim Fest 1946. Now he didn't say this. It wasn't the Nevuah, wasn't Ruach HaKodesh which came out of his mouth. He was a Nazi, and the Nazis, they studied the Jewish religion, and they knew about all the Jewish holidays, and their favorite Jewish holiday was Purim. It was a known fact. And the atrocities that the Nazis committed on Purim were legendary. They did things on Purim, they did things on Simchas Torah, they did things on Yom Kippur. They knew the religion, they studied the religion, they knew everything. They knew what the Jews say before they died, they say Shema Yisrael. They knew exactly what they were doing. And that was Purim by the Nazis was a Yom Tov, Rachmana Litzlan. And as he was being taken to be killed, he said, he was making litzanis. He's saying, "Ah, oh, Purim Fest. Like, you go, you're killing me." Oh, he was just telling the Jews, yeah, you bunch of good for nothing. So, he was trying to rub it in as he was being put to death. But everyone took this as something very significant. Here we have the Aseres Bnei Haman being killed here. Nachman, a reincarnation. We have no idea what this means in the 20th century. It's hard for us to relate to things, but haloi davar. You can't ignore the fact that in the Aseres Bnei Haman there are three letters that are small, and those three letters that are small spell Tov Shin Zayin, which is the year. Tov Shin Zayin is the Hebrew year of 1946, and here he's saying Purim Fest. Haloi Davar. This is not something which you can just brush aside. Klal Yisrael reads the Megillah for Doros. Obviously, it's something very significant. Okay. I'm not telling you any chidushim, you all know this, you've all heard about this. But it's the one point I want to make, which is not spoken about. When you learn about the story of Purim, you learn about Amalek, Parsha Zohar, Mechias Amalek is all done, and history has been done so far in the Torah three times, only through the Malchus of descendants of Binyamin, of Shaul. Yehoshua, Yoshua comes from Shevet Ephraim. Ephraim is from Yosef, a descendant of Yosef. In the time of Shaul, is a descendant of Binyamin. Binyamin comes from Yosef. Mordechai, Ish Yimini, Binyamin Yosef. The Malchus, we know that the client is the Malchus of Shaul, which comes from Shevet of Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, and is the Malchus of David. Mashiach, there are two Mashiachim. And the three major significant events in history where Amalek has been subdued, never completely eradicated them, but when they have been subdued throughout history, it has been done through Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef, through David, through Yamin. Yoshua, he won that. He lochim ba Amalek, right? Go fight him out. Who's killing them out? Yoshua, Shev Yosef, Shaul, Malchus of Shaul, not David. And then comes Purim. Purim is Mordechai, Ishimini. In fact, you know, we say after Dating, after Elenu, after Elenu, Malchus, you say three psukim. We say, Al Tira mi pachad pisam, we show us Rosham Kisavo. That refers to Refidim, to the Milchama of Amalek of Yehoshua. It was Bepesa Pisain. Amalek just came upon us suddenly. They just came upon us. The second pasuk, Utsu Eitzah Visufar Dabur Dov Lo Yakum Ki Manukel, that refers to the time of Shaul, because there they were in disguise. They disguised themselves. They tried to make a treaty. There are many midrashim. Rav David Cohen has a lot of Torah. I'm not for now all the details, but the second pasuk of Utsu Eitzah Visufar Dabur Dov Lo Yakum refers to the tkufa of Amalek in Shaul and Shmuel. And the last pasuk of Adzikna Anihu V'Yatseva Aniespo refers to the time of Haman, because Haman said, Yeshnoi Am Echad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is old. Hashem is Yoshin, he's old, he's not able to help the people anymore. So that refers to during even time of Zikna and Seva Anihu Aniespo Aniosisi V'Aniamale, that refers to three psukim that we say every day after Aleinu correspond to the three different events of Melchias Amalek that took place in Tanakh. Now here's the thing. Hoshana Rabbah. What is Hoshana Rabbah all about? It's all about David HaMelech. Hoshana Rabbah is the Ushpizin of David HaMelech. Many of Yisrael, not all of us do this, but it used to be a big thing to say the whole Tehillim. Many people, they say the whole Tehillim on David HaMelech on Hoshana Rabbah. It's a big thing to say Tehillim. On Hoshana Rabbah, it's all about David. It's David. And in fact, I saw in a Sefer, I think, that if you look in the Hoshana, a lot of Hoshanas, in the Hoshanas we beg Hashem, we burn him, save us in the Zuchus of this one. You look through the Hoshanas, almost all the Ishei HaTanach are there. Noach is there, we Vakish, even Gidoin is there. But there's one person in Tanach that is not mentioned in the entire, all the Hoshanas. You know who that is? Shaul. Shaul's not there. You know why Shaul is not there? Because Hoshana Rabbah is all about David. Ein malchus achas noigas bechaverta afilu meloi nima. It's not his day. The day of Shaul is the day of Purim. Purim is all about Shaul. You want to learn, that's why the Haftarah Parsha Zoha, we read about Shaul. Purim is the tkufa of Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef, you know, that's the political Melech HaMashiach. V'rotzu l'roi v'echav. Mordechai was a politician, so to speak. He was there in the government. He was part of the government. Mordechai was really Mashiach ben Yosef. It's all about Shaul, Yosef, Mishneh l'melech, involved in the government. David? No, Malchus Yehuda, the different Malchus, Mashiach ben David is a whole different. That's the day for Hoshana Rabbah. Now, all of the victories over Amalek in history are all Shaul, Yosef. But Purim Fest 1946, Tov Shin Zayin, reincarnation, when did it take place? When did that happen? When did they hang them all up? Hoshana Rabbah. Fascinating. They hung up the 10 Nazis publicly on Hoshana Rabbah. It was Hoshana Rabbah Tov Shin Zayin, 1946. David, what's going on? It's there's a hashkocha that this was a turning point in history after the Holocaust of Mechias Amalek. I mean, we don't know what I mean, but it's Haloi Dover. Throughout history, Amalek has been in Tanakh through Mashiach ben Yosef. After Mashiach ben Yosef comes Mashiach ben David. And there is at least some type of sign from above that Melchama LaHashem ba'Amalek midor dor. Different door. One door is the door of Mashiach ben Yosef, and there's the door of Mashiach ben David. And the generation that we're living in is now a generation where we're coming to wipe out Amalek, Mechias Amalek, through Mashiach ben David. And the remez to that is the fact that the Purim Fest 1946 took place on Hoshana Rabbah, which is David, not Purim, which is Shaul. The mixing of the. So there's definitely something very significant to that. There are midrash. We spoke. We did the Aleph Beis. So we mentioned here and there different things of why the letter Saf in that Parshan Dasa, well, because it means there are different isolated midrashim. But this is something which only can have been invented in the year 1946 when it happened. No one predicted this in advance. Okay, but it's
David and Shaul.
You can't just ignore it and just say it's just a chance. No. It's not a chance. It's hashkacha, and it's a bigger hashkacha that it took place in Hoshana Rabbah. No one talks about that. Everyone talks about this Purim Fest 1946. What does it mean? I know all different rabbis will give you all the sermons and they'll tell you homiletics and what it means significance. But also consider Hoshana Rabbah. And everything that we know about Mechias Amalek so far in Tanakh is Mashiach ben Yosef. So, Melchama LaHashem Amalek midor dor. And there has to be a double subjugation of Amalek. There has to be the two Mashiachim to bring the ultimate Geula.
Dov and Shaul, that's why you skip on the Kovet, you skip as Tzemach, Tzemach
Dov. Yeah?
You skip it.
Yeah? That's why we still. That's why you skip it. Saying the Nekrovitz, you don't say in the Shemona Esrei Yetzemach David because it's not his day.
You
skip over him. That's not his day.
Every
one of the brachas in Shemona Esrei, there's a Krovitz. There's something to say. But David Yetzemach David, you skip. David's not David. Purim is not David's day. Purim is a day for Shaul. And Malchus Achas Nagas Bechaverta Afilu Kimloi Nima. Hashana Rabbah is David's day. On Hashana Rabbah, there's no Shaul in the Hashanahs. He's not mentioned. And Purim is happening. Aseres Yehiyahu being hung on Hashana Rabbah. Haloi Davar. We're entering into a Tekufa of Mechias Amalek in our generation, starting with 1946, where Amalek is going to be defeated through the Malchus of David. That's something different. What is the significance that I leave for you? Okay. What?
I said, no.